We now bring to these microphones David James for the weekly conversation that I have with David. He does a lot of research, several hours worth, and then we come to the table with his research. I ask questions, he responds, giving you insight into an issue that really needs to be discussed before the body of Christ. And bottom line, we'll take you to what the Bible exhorts us to do in light of this issue. David, today we're going to be discussing a survey that just came out that seems to indicate some disturbing trends. But many of our listeners may not realize that it was a survey that came out in 2008 that actually was a major catalyst for us establishing the Alliance for Biblical Integrity.
Well, that's actually right. And in fact, it was a survey that was done by the same group, the Pew Research Study Group. And what happened was we were beginning to see that the general attitudes of Americans toward the Bible, toward the gospel, this was a large survey, 35,000 people, and things were really beginning to go south in terms of the way Americans view the Bible in general.
You know, the extensive survey indicated a remarkable shift in what evangelicals have historically believed about the gospel, didn't it?
Well, that's true, and I guess that's probably the single most important part of the survey that really got us thinking. And I was just looking at the survey again this morning, and one of the questions was, do you believe that salvation is possible in another religion, meaning apart from faith in Jesus Christ? And among those who would claim to be evangelicals, there were a fully 67% believed that there might be salvation apart from faith in Jesus Christ that might be available in another religion. That is just an incredible departure from what evangelicals have believed.
You know, David, a few days ago, as you're aware of course, Reuters, which is a news service to all the media across the world, published the results of an equally large survey concerning the state of religion and spirituality in America. And some of the changes weren't necessarily significant, but they do suggest that there are changes underway in the culture. For example, the number of people who say they are certain that God does exist, it dropped by 8% in just 7 years. That's pretty important, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. You know, and a couple of interesting things about that. One is that the proportion of Americans who say that they are absolutely certain God exists fell to 63% from 71% in 2007. But also, it's interesting that the total number of Americans who believe that God in some way exists slipped to 89%. And the only way to explain that difference is that Americans, their idea of God does not align with the God of the Bible, but they just simply have some vague notion about God that does not bode well for the future of this country, and especially the gospel and their understanding of the Bible in general.
Quite interesting results. This survey, of course, taken across the world, and I think the drop is even more dramatic of what you're talking about in Eastern Europe after the fall of communism in the late 1980s and the early 1990s.
Well, that's true. There was actually a book that's been published every several years by a man named Patrick Johnstone, and it's called Operation World. And I remember reading when we first went to Eastern Europe as missionaries that it was estimated that under communism, only about 15% of the population of Hungary were actually atheists. But about 10 years ago, there was another study done that indicated that for those who were under about 45 years old, that number had actually risen to about 50%. About 50% of the current population, the younger population, do not believe that God exists at all.
Now, as I understand it, David, the drop in the number of those who believe in God was the greatest among those who were born in the early to mid-1990s. Why is that?
Well, I think it's the same kind of thing that we actually saw in Hungary. And that is the fact that our public universities, the political system, the entire educational system, and some groups like we've talked about before, the LGBT agenda, there are several political and cultural groups that are on a mission to actually change the whole face of culture, revolutionize culture, and it begins in the families and it begins in the schools. And so this indoctrination is really beginning to have an effect.
Another result I thought quite interesting was the significant divide that seems to exist along political party lines.
Well, that's true, and I thought it was an interesting result as well. One of the things it says is that of those who do not claim any sort of religious affiliation among Democrats is about 28%, whereas it's only half of that, about 14% of Republicans indicate no religious affiliation. And the significance of that is that, you know, your religious affiliation shapes your worldview, and so how you process everything, the decisions that you make, the political views that you have, the morality views that you have, are clearly shaped by your religious affiliation. Another interesting statistic along that line is that 38% of Republicans identify as evangelical Protestants, and they actually make up the largest religious group within the Republicans. And I think that's why, in general, the Republicans, and we're not taking a position politically, we try to avoid that, but the fact is that the Republicans tend to be viewed as the conservative party, and that is because they have a view that is more consistently biblical because of this affiliation and being evangelicals.
David, as you recognized in this article, it suggested that increased political and scientific propaganda may be one of the reasons behind at least part of this religious shift, which, if true, I would have to say is one of the most disturbing of the issues.
Well, I think that's right, and it goes back to both the religious establishment, the political establishment, the educational institutions, and even the scientific establishment. For example, one of the people who was surveyed made the comment that she thought that anti-science, anti-gay rhetoric and things like that are actually keeping young people away from religion. Another thing she said was the idea of Republicans not believing in global warming is contributing to the notion that religious people are not intelligent. Now, what is so interesting about that is just a couple of days ago, NASA came out with a very large survey that indicated that the ice in Antarctica is actually increasing. And there was another article that came out that, and I've read several of these over the past couple of weeks, that says that it's very likely that we are beginning to enter into a mini ice age. So there's so much disinformation, but it's actually being used to affect the religious views of young people in the United States.
David, we hear a lot about cultural wars, and if they are really having an impact in the overall spiritual decline in America, then could it be said that the world is having more of an influence in the church than the church having in and to the world?
Well, I would say that's absolutely true, and I think something as profound as the Supreme Court decision back in June, that 5-4 decision that now bans states from not issuing same-sex marriage licenses, that is a result of a not just a political but a religious shift, and it's happening not just in the culture as a whole, but it's happening within the church. Ideas about morality, ideas about, you know, whether it has to do with young people, old people, euthanasia, views about sex outside of marriage, all of these related things show that we're really not being the salt and light that we should be in the world.
David, in your opinion, what would be two or three things that churches and pastors can or should be doing to begin to reverse this trend?
Well, three things really come immediately to mind, and one is that we need to get back to preaching the Bible expositionally, taking people through the Bible verse by verse and teaching them what the Bible says. The second, I would say, is that there needs to be a renewed emphasis on both missions and evangelism, because when those things decline, the health of the church declines dramatically. And the third thing I would say is the way that we're dealing with young people. You know, I was with Word of Life for 21 years, and one of the exciting things about Word of Life in their club program, the material they provided for young people in local churches, is that on a six-year cycle, they took young people through all of the areas of theology, and it really made a difference in the way that young people viewed the Bible, and it shaped their worldview. Those are things that we need to get back to.
Excellent suggestions for the churches and pastors. David, we know, and let's conclude with this in our conversation today, that in the last days, before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be apostasy, a widespread falling away from the truth within the church. We certainly have a responsibility, do we not, to see what we can do to stem that tide.
That's absolutely true. You know, I often say that the world is going to act like the world and sinners are going to do what sinners do. But when we're talking about inside the church, I think that our first emphasis needs to be to focus on changing the hearts and minds of people within our churches. I think there are many people in our pews, perhaps even who think that they're born-again believers, who really aren't, and it goes back to the fact that even the gospel itself is not being preached clearly.
David, thank you so very much. David James and I have a conversation every week. We talk about an issue that needs to be discussed in the church, and this one certainly does, the decline in understanding of God's Word and a fact that we need to have some foundational truths as a part of our church, especially the young people, as David has suggested. Thank you so much, David. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. It's always great to be with you.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll take a look at the book right here on Prophecy Today.